It's time for the best 60 minutes of your life. This is the Homer Hour, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. Alongside former Packer Brian Belaga, here's Emmy Award winner Homer.
The best 60 minutes of your day, the Brian Belaga Homer Hour. I am the listener Homer, especially when Brian Belaga and Jason Wilde get on. I heard the discussion about Cam Newton, and I wish to state that I once thought that way. I no longer do. The MVP is about how I play. And granted, it's also a part of my teammates, but winning the Super Bowl can be dependent also on the rest of the team. So if the rest of the team sucks, hey, I don't win the Super Bowl. I could still play great. So I can see how a player, because MVP means they say you are the best player in the league. What more can I do for my team than be the best player in the league? If we don't win the Super Bowl, you know what? You know what they just told me? Ain't your fault. If you are on a team and you're the league MVP and you don't win the Super Bowl, doesn't that by definition say, unless, and I could mention a quarterback who some say this, unless you're not as good in the playoffs as you are. But I retire and I have an MVP. That means one season I was the greatest player in the league. Would that mean more to me than having one Super Bowl? I can see how it would be. And I don't think that means you're not a team player, because for your team, Brian Belaga, what could you do better than being the league MVP? Just curious.
I mean,
sorry, listen, you didn't hold up your end of the bargain. We'd have been better if you had done better than league MVP. Take it away.
No, so like, it is an honest and like, it's not like a bad debate one way or another. So this is the way I truly look at it too. And I didn't really have a bunch of time to explain it. So we look at the MVP in a real certain way, right? Like, it's the best player, right? And who knows who's going to win it this year, Allen or Lamar, right? Like, who knows?
And it's become the best quarterback generally, to be fair.
Yes, and that's what it's become, which is actually going to be a shame, because I think who it should be going to is the guy that's actually playing in the Super Bowl, and it's the running back from the Eagles, Saquon. So, like, that's who it should be going to. But you look at that award, right, and he said he's happy that he'd rather have his MVP from that season than winning the Super Bowl anyway. But he doesn't get that MVP if his team doesn't play great that entire year to get them to the Super Bowl, to be honest with you.
Clearly, that's true. As an offensive lineman, you would want to make that clear.
Yeah, like, it doesn't play out that way, that team is that good, unless the entire group collectively plays that way to get them to that game, to have that opportunity.
Right, but to be honest with you, I love that. Because just so you know, I assume everything you say, you're honest.
So you
don't have to say that unless you want to, you Brian Belaga. But that would speak only in the offense. There have been years when the team didn't do better, because while the offense was great, the defense was not.
Yeah.
And I don't know that fits here, but I can see. It's great to win a Super Bowl. But man, to be the league MVP.
I mean, you and I have talked about this too, right?
Yeah. Like, but I've changed a little bit. I was much more in that. And then over recent time, I've thought, man, you love being told you're the best team when you win a Super Bowl. But being told you're the best player, I mean, think of you, all the players in the NFL, all the respect you have, and they say, Brian Belaga, you're the best. How would that feel?
It would feel great for the moment, right? Like, and that's the that's the kicker on it. Like, I understand that. I guess I look at it, and you and I have said it, like, once you get that Super Bowl, like, especially for the quarterback, you're in the club. Like, you are in the club, right? Like, you're a Super Bowl winning quarterback. There's not an MVP winning quarterback.
Hold on. And I am to blame for this, because you're in that club. You know what? That's a big club. There are a lot of people that have rings. How many got an MVP? That club is very, very select. Go ahead.
You know who doesn't have one of those? One of the best quarterbacks ever, Dan Marino.
Correct.
I bet Dan Marino would love a Super Bowl ring. Probably would love one, right? Would probably do a lot to get one of those rings, would be my guess. There's probably a lot of players that would love a Super Bowl ring than would rather get like a Pro Bowl or an All-Pro or Defensive Player of the Year. Would probably give up anything for that, would be my guess.
I would agree, but giving up the MVP.
Well, I mean, you could say the MVP, but like, there's only a couple, really now, one position group that can get the MVP.
Right.
So like, it's kind of like been narrowed down to 32 guys that can get it. So like, you've alienated majority of the league to even get it. So it's like, what does it become now as an award?
That is a very accurate and important point to make.
So, you know, because if it was like, so if we let this thing open up like it should be, right, like a true the best player in the league, right, and if a defensive player could get it or a running back,
right,
like this
because
year
you
should
have
be
stated
it
appropriately, this is not MVP, this is the best of 32.
Yeah, that's what it will be, yeah, every year. Like, and because if it was the true award this year, Saquon would be getting it,
right? And he would be getting it easily.
Yes, 100%. 100%. So like, yeah, and it's no disrespect to Allen or Jackson. They played great, right? Like, they played great seasons. They really did. But like, the guy, Saquon's playing unbelievable. And like, I don't know. So, but
I guess I brought this up because I would have probably thought Cam Newton was selfish to say that. And I don't think that as much as I do now. Or I think of it less than I do now, because I can understand the incredible honor of being called the best player in the league. So it still might be a little selfish, but I don't.
I'm with you. Like, I wouldn't look at him as like, oh my gosh, what a selfish guy. Like, that's not the way I look at that comment. Like, cause like, listen, man, like, I'm never mad at, like, guys for their personal accomplishments and achievements, right? Like, listen, I'm not taking anything away from the MVP. It's a hell of an honor, right? Like, it is a great honor. Like, and even as much as I said about it, it's a 32-man race. Like, it is a great honor to win the MVP. And, you know, he played really well that year, and he deserved it, and he got it. So, like, hats off to him. So, like, there's no – I don't look at it as, like, he's a selfish guy. I just always look at it as, like, the Super Bowl or MVP, like, it's just – I just always look at the Super Bowl as something in its own stratosphere compared to the MVP, because, like, it just always is. Like, I always looked at it as, like, the Super Bowl – is the thing you're ultimately chasing, and the MVP happens during the regular season, right? Like, and it's like, you know, it is what it is.
And you know this way better than I do, and that is, for a MVP to say the Super Bowl means more, that tells you how much he thinks of all his teammates. Because what he's saying is, the joy that I see and feel for all my teammates is greater than the individual joy that I have as MVP.
Yeah. I mean, and you know what? I'm sure if we went back and looked at quotes, because I know not every Super Bowl that Brady won, he won the MVP, because I know he didn't. I'm guaranteed Brady has quotes about what he's had to say about winning Super Bowls and MVPs. I know he has to have some great quotes about what the difference was and how he felt about that, because I know there were years that they won that he didn't win the MVP. Like, and there were probably multiple of those. But you have to look at what means more. I mean, I'm sure he won Super Bowl MVP, right? I'm sure he won those a couple times, and
yeah,
that's pretty good too. So like, it's like
the other thought I have is what would make it special, and only Cam Newton could answer this. If people didn't think you were that good, and if they didn't think you were that good, then to win the MVP would have that special taste of, I proved them all wrong. I don't know if that's the case or if Cam Newton felt that way or he invented it to feel that way. But if I didn't think, or at some point there was the accuracy of that people just, you know, why is that guy playing? He's not that good.
Yeah.
Then to win MVP would, again, add that little extra. And I didn't. Yeah.
What year was that? His third year? Was that his third year that he won that?
2015 NFL MVP.
It might have been his fifth year or second year. I forgot which one it was. But yeah, I mean, but maybe he, yeah, you know what? Maybe he had a little chip on his shoulder. You know, maybe he thought.
I would guess that he did.
But... You know, which is okay. Which, hey, I actually like that. I like a little chip on your shoulder. You know, that I like that mentality. That's great, right? But listen, I went against Cam Newton multiple times, not directly because I was on offense, obviously, and I always thought he was a good player, threat, right? Can do both, run, pass. Had to look out for him. Dude was a monster. So, like, you know, I don't think anyone ever took him lightly. I think he was always a dangerous football player. So, but hey, again, I don't look at him as selfish for saying it. I think maybe some of his teammates may look at that as a side eye, right? Like some of the guys that he played with may look at that a little bit differently, but you know, it's obviously 10 years removed from when that all happened. Right. So
right,
you know,
and I think some probably do, but it's what I've said to you. Oh, and they're not going to say it. Some might, but they know what kind of a teammate he was.
Yeah.
And they know whether he was a team guy or an individual guy. And that's really the issue, more correct, than this comment. If many think he's an individual guy, then they would say typical. And if they think he's a team guy, wouldn't faze him in the slightest because they would know that he did everything possible that year to win a Super Bowl. And I'd love to have you rank your teammates. This is the best teammate, and this is the worst teammate. But... to be honest, I know that's never going to happen.
Yeah, I won't ever do that. And you know what? To be honest, like, and this is being honest. Like, this is being honest. I don't, in Green Bay, man, I'd really have to, like, really think hard. I mean, about who was a bad teammate. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, there's guys that maybe didn't do things, like, that maybe didn't follow rules or got in trouble, like, did things, but, like, a bad teammate has to literally just not care about everyone else and only care about just single-handedly themselves and, like, disregard everyone else. And, like, I just don't ever recall that, like, being so in your face that, like, you look at someone and you're like, you're a bad team. Like, you don't care about anybody.
And as,
like,
an outsider, I would think that kind of person wouldn't last on the Packers.
They didn't.
But I don't know if that's true, but that's what I would think.
Like, normally, if that person was in the locker room, and maybe it was when I was younger and I was oblivious to everything, right? Like, when I was young, I just tried to, like, keep my head down and, like, not create a stir and not getting, like, hey, stay out of the older guy's way and, like, and just do my job. Maybe that was the case. And if that happened, yeah, most of the time, they'd be gone pretty quick if that was the case. But as I got older, like, I just don't recall that. And that wasn't something that I remember being an issue in Green Bay. Like, it just wasn't tolerated.
Talking with Brian Bulaga, I have good news and bad news. Which do you want first?
Bad news is always the best.
No Jason Wilde.
Okay. Okay. No Jason Wilde. All right. Fair enough.
I didn't actually have any good news. I was hoping you would pick the bad news first.
Okay.
Second quarter I should just lie and say Jason's on. That'd be the ultimate tease. Oh, I just found out. Well, I sucked you in for this long. Because if I was a listener and Jason Wilde wasn't on and Homer was on, click. Next.
This is the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
Jason Wilde is on assignment, so it's the Brian Bulaga Homer Hour with Brian Bulaga and me, Homer. Sorry. Fisco Auto Body. I just don't talk about it. I go there. Got a car heading in. I know one thing. They'll do it great. The price will be right. And everybody will follow me maybe a little bit more and realize you got to go to Fisco Auto Body on Forest Home in Franklin. Yes, you need your auto body place. So when something happens and it's a pain, you know, no problem. It'll be taken care of. Just get to Fisco. Fisco Auto Body on Forest Home in Franklin. Why are they this good? Family business, owned since 1931. It's not what they do. It's who they are. And it's the Fisco's doing the work. Expert workmanship guarantee for the life of your vehicle. Fisco Auto Body on Forest Home in Franklin. Fisco, 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 to remember the name. Brian Bulaga. This is the longest day with Brian Bulaga in a long time. Usually it's Rob Demosky he was on or Jason Wilde. Not tonight. All right. I now go to YouTube because we're on TV and everything, and I'm wearing my Missouri journalism t-shirt because it was given to me by 7'2½ John Anderson. Why he thought I still wear a large is beyond me. I guess that's why I'm wearing. But anyway, so I go to YouTube and there was somebody on. They have a YouTube live chat that I like to go to, and I think it's much better than Twitter because you know the people that are have questions are listening or watching the show, and those are really the only people I care about. And yesterday somebody said, there's no way the Packers are making the playoffs next year.
Mm.
And it made me think, I judge opinions based on whether you would bet it. You can say whatever you want, but like, would you bet, you know, $100, $10, $20, whatever the amount is that you're comfortable betting, that tells me you really believe it. And I thought, I bet $100 the Packers are making the playoffs. I don't know you take it for granted. I think they're making the playoffs next year. Whatever concerns there are, that's not one of them. So would I bet that they'll make the playoffs? Yes. How about you? And I know you don't bet, but
You know, I feel good that they'll make the playoffs. I feel like this off season there's going to be some soul searching. I really do. I think there's going to be some adjustments within. Quite frankly, I mean, I'm looking more towards the offense because
head coach.
Yeah, because that's LaFleur's baby. That's his side of the football. That's what he does. And I'm sure, as much as we loved about the run game, and I loved it, right? Like how he adjusted to Jacobs and how well they did things. He did get away from his core principles of what this offense was, right? And what they do so well and what he brought into this off or what he brought into Green Bay when he originally got there.
Don't understand it. I don't understand what happened. You've explained it best that you have a different blocking thing when you run that way, but
yeah,
I'll never understand how he was incapable of adjusting to that to solve it. As it got further on in the season, the movement toward the importance of the running game and Jacobs existed for a lot of weeks, correct?
Yeah, but I mean, once you're going into this thing, right, like they were, and it's working, and it's working so well, and then you put on top of it the injuries to Jordan Love, and then you got Malik Willis in there. Now you're changing that dynamic, and now you're scheming with him in there, and you're not going to try to mess with now trying to adjust Jacobs.
So I'm not understanding. You're just saying, Homer, you just don't get it, right? Like you don't have any trouble understanding it like I do, right? You see what's going on.
Yeah, I understand why they got away from it, and I have a good idea of why they got away from it. And
then my question is why they couldn't get back to it to some degree at any point as the season went on.
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, I think they couldn't get back to it because it's just not something they've been repping. They just haven't been doing it.
Okay.
And when it's not something that you do and you haven't been repping it and it's not something you've been practicing, and I get it, it's day one install during training camp, but it's not something that you've been doing in games, and it's not something the guys are comfortable with, and it's not something Jacobs has been doing, and you don't want to go out there when these games matter and things are on the line and try to do it, because negative plays in big games are bad things. So, like, go to what you trust, and that's duo and inside zone, and Jacobs does it well, and the line did it well, and that's what they did, and I'm okay with that. But with that, you're going to struggle in the play-action game and pocket movement things and things that they did so well for the last 3 years with Jordan Love last year and then with Aaron the years prior, all the way up to 2019 when LaFleur first got there and he installed this thing in the get-go. So, like, I think this offseason, they are going to get back to those principles, and they are going to trust that Jacobs, while what he does so well with the inside zone and duo, is going to be able to adapt his game more to that, to be able to expand this offense and what he can do within it. Because I think Jacobs is so good that you can now work him into this outside zone scheme, and he can be so good in it. Because I'm not saying Jacobs needs to be able to break, contain, and run outside zone and get outside the tackle box. But if you show that, if you show defenses that guy's stretching, and defenses get running sideline to sideline, that guy puts his foot in the ground and cuts back and goes vertical, there is nobody that's going to want to tackle him going downhill, you know, as linebackers are running sideways and linemen are opening up gaps backside and safeties are just sitting there looking at him running downhill full speed. They're not going to want to do it. It's all about stretching the defense, cutting it off at a certain point, and then he gets downhill. And once you are able to establish that, then the pocket movement happens, the play action, and you get all these different things that we just didn't see. And that's what I think LaFleur is going to get back into this offseason. There's going to be a lot of self-scout. And that's why I think we're going to see a better outlook offensively from the play action game that we just didn't see this year. And that's going to be the big thing, big difference, I feel, from this year to next year.
So if we don't see the difference, then you will say, now I'm really surprised.
Yeah. I think if they don't go back to at least showing what this offense was, even in 2021, right? Like with how they moved Aaron, right? Even Aaron as he got older, right? Like, and how the pocket movement was and how Aaron was booting out and the play action game, like, you know, then I'm going to question, like, hey, so why did this all change like this, right? Like, why are you guys not, you know, moving the launch point and showing outside zone? This is how this offense was established when you first got in here. Like, this is your bread and butter. This is like the Matt LaFleur offense. This is what you guys pounded into our heads day one when we walked into that O-line room. This is what we're doing. This is not what you guys thought it was. This is what it is. We want you to run, stretch, run. So, like, yeah, if they don't get back to that, I'm going to be a little confused about, like, what, you know, what's the turn this offense is making? What are you guys looking for this to become? Because I think Jacobs can do it. Jacobs is so good that, like, I think he can adapt to anything. And maybe they didn't want to overload him in year one to be able to do all of this. But year two, I think the guy can do everything. He is legitimately such a stud back that you can have him do everything in the offense, and he'll knock it all out of the park.
So you expect to see this the first week of the regular season?
Yeah, I expect to see all the different looks, inside zone, outside zone, play action, boots, keeps, pocket movement, everything. I expect to see all different types of looks that we did not see as much last year. I mean, A, Love will be healthy. B, I think they're going to expand what the offense is. Because they can't continue to just, you know, do what they did last year, right? I mean, it worked early on and in chunks of the game, but then if you just continue to stay stagnant and just inside zone and duo blocking, and then you try to run play action off of that action, it's not going to work. Because, like, when you're so productive in that type of run scheme, That's great, but you can't sell play action off that all day. Like, because it's just so everyone can see it, right? The linebackers and the safeties can see that clear as day, and they have to be patient anyway to stop that run scheme, right? Like, they got to be patient, because if they guess and jump a gap, that's what the linemen and running back want, because then they hit the opposite hole no matter what, and then it breaks out. So, like, you're asking the defense to be patient anyway. And that's how you eat alive. A play-action game is that everyone sits back, and then the receivers are over the middle and tight ends, and they're covered. So, like, to get defenses being aggressive again and flying downhill and running sideline to sideline and getting guys to buy into the play-action game and getting them to bite, and then wide receivers and tight ends working over the middle uncovered, that's what I'm looking forward to seeing again, because that's what I remember. That's what I remember. You know, once we got clicking in 2019, mm-hmm. then you saw it in 2020 and 2021. I mean, the offense looked effortless. And that's what it looked like last year in those last, you know, eight games that Love played. It looked effortless. And that's kind of what I'm looking for it to be like next year.
Effortless. I got that down. I look at it more like, those receivers are wide open. Does the defense have 11 people out there? Or do they have like nine? It's just so incredible. All right. I would bet Packers make the playoffs. We both have a yes there. And the other ones to address coming up. I do want to get back to just a half hour south of Franklin, maybe 38 minutes to be exact. American Place Casino. American Place Casino. Everybody will tell you multiple other things that I'll get to, but I want to be known for one, American Place Casino, a half hour south of Franklin, and if you're specific, exactly 38 minutes. American Place Casino, located in Lake County, Illinois, they have great table games, they have great slot machines, they have a sports book, they have great food, you can get all the latest promotions and events every month at AmericanPlaceCasino.com, but that's not what I emphasize. American Place Casino now, and it's to the point, yes, people... Homer, not again. Yep. Every time, multiple times, American Place Casino, a half hour south of Franklin, exactly 38 minutes. The Packers, I would bet they'll make the playoffs. How about win the division? NFC Championship game, Super Bowl, win a Super Bowl. Specifically about Jordan Love, wide receivers, Kraft, Jacobs. Next.
You're listening to the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
The Brian Bulaga Homer Hour on Thursday with only Brian Bulaga. Jason Wilde normally is on assignment, but if you want to know everything Jason Wilde says, you just go to WisconsinOnDemand.com. You hit the box Wilde and you'll get 8 million comments. He's on just about every show. In addition, he has his own show with Mark Tauscher. Brian Bulaga, you ready to go? We both said we would bet on the Packers making the playoffs. Now it gets a little tougher.
Okay.
Would you bet that the Packers are going to win the division, which I think is what everybody should focus on, because you don't want to be a number seven seed.
We've seen that.
Yeah, yes.
We've seen all that plays
And understand
out.
When the Packers won, they were not a number seven seed because the seven seed didn't get in. They were a number six seed. But...
Mm-hmm.
I will not bet, but
yeah,
I might bet a little. I'll bet a little. Like, so I said the bet we'll go on is $100. Not that you'd bet on. I would bet $100 on they're making the playoffs. I would bet, I'll bet $30 that they win the division.
Yeah. I'm probably close to that, because, like, you know, I think that's like more of a question when we see through free agency and draft, right? Like, what do they do? Who do they acquire? Like, who do we lose, right? Like, and that's kind of...
I'm moving it up to 40, because I have to say, hearing you say that, what I think the most positive thing about the Packers is, most positive thing going into next season, is how well Goody has drafted in the last couple drafts.
Yep.
Making me think he can do it again, and that will improve the team at a level that they can win the division. Now, there's the free agency. There are other things that could occur as well. But of all the things, that's probably what I find the most positive thought. And your belief, and I think I'm positive on that, it occurs, that LaFleur will figure this out and the offense will be better or as good as it should be with a running back like Jacobs.
Yeah, and the with the draft, too, like I think as good as he's been, you know, the last few years and how he's hit on guys, like we obviously need, you know, the rookie lineman that was injured most of the year, Morgan, you know, he's going to have a big role in this next year, right? He was hurt most of the year. Chances are he's going to get a lot of opportunity this year. So that's going to be a interesting piece to watch as this offseason develops. It's going to be interesting to see what Goody does with the free agent market. It was a big success last year. I get it. It's not the way you want to live every year, right? Going into the market, but he did so well in it, picking up two guys that proved to be big, big time players for the team. Does he test it again, right? And go get someone else. Maybe not as expensive, but maybe does he go get someone else or another guy, maybe two that aren't as high price guys, but maybe someone else and see if he can add to the team, maybe in more of a veteran way, you know, like those two guys were, and just add some pieces, not as expensive pieces, but just some guys. So we'll see what he does. But if he continues to add the way he did with the draft, and he looked the pieces that he did, like you said, defensively, you can't ask for more than what he did. I mean, his second round picks, fantastic, right? Like, I mean, the second round picks and third round picks that he did this last draft, I mean, you can't say enough about it, right? I mean, they look on
Cooper,
paper.
Bullard, and Williams, and the disappointing one would probably be Marshawn Lloyd, but I don't know that I can say that it was that surprising. That. There was concern about his injury issue.
But you can't say anything yet. You know, you got to give him, you know, I mean, he was injured, so you got to give him some time this offseason to get ready. And
but
we'll
if he turns out to not be that good, or depending on how much, Cooper, Bullard, and Williams, that's a good draft.
Starters.
It's all three of those
good
guys.
Good starters.
Yes, yeah. And might be even more than just starters.
Yes, like high-end starters is really good for non-first-round picks. It's really good. So,
and Morgan's we all know Morgan's going to be a starter if he can stay healthy. I think that's the question. He's not really, at least this is what my people are, not really strong. And so that was the concern. But I will be shocked if he's not a starter at some position. For the Packers.
I think my only concern is to, you know, you look at his build and you look at how he's built. I mean, he's a tall guy. He is a tackle frame, right? Like, I think I watched him in preseason and you see his build and his footwork. He's got good footwork. Like, and, you know, that was my biggest thing of him coming out of college. How did he look, you know, in the time I watched him in preseason? He's got good feet. So I can appreciate that in his game. So, like, that to me is a really good sign. But his build out kind of, you know, it's why I never translated to the guard position, because my build out is not a guard frame. I could not play guard. I was terrible at it. When Campy tried to put me there in training camp my rookie year, I just stunk at it. It was no good. He's got a tackle frame. So, like, is he going to be able to make that transition to guard and be a starter at guard and be really good there? That's going to be the question. You know, maybe he can. Maybe he's one of those freakazoids that's able to make that change and be really good there and he doesn't miss a beat. Who knows? I have no idea. But as we saw as this season was going, he was placed there and he was almost a starter there, right? Like he beat out Sean Ryan essentially.
I can ask you a favor. You don't have to say, when you talk offensive linemen, I don't want to hear, right? Like I'm not going to argue with Brian Bulaga over offensive line. Not now, not tomorrow, not ever.
Well, it's just like he was on the depth chart going into the season. He had beat out Sean Ryan at right guard until he got injured, right? And then he was rotating snaps with Sean Ryan. Then he hurt the shoulder, and then Sean Ryan took over and he went on IR and he was out for the season. So like they saw something in him that they really liked at the guard position. So maybe he is a very good guard, and he just unfortunately got hurt and the shoulder never bounced back. So it's going to be an interesting to see how he develops this offseason, obviously get the shoulder healthy, get that thing where it needs to be. And maybe he develops more strength-wise in the offseason and gets his body where it needs to be, and he'll be ready to go. But offensively, I think we all know, and I know, I've said it, depth needs to be added in that unit. It needs to be added in the unit because we saw in the playoff game, you can't lose someone and the offense falls apart.
No, you can't be that bad. I don't want to say that deep because you're not really that deep. That close to the starters, the drop-off can't be that large at any of the offensive line positions, right? Any of the five. You just can't have that big a fall-off.
No. I mean, like, listen, like, it's – I understand that it is very hard in the NFL to keep guys on the team that are backups that are, like, great play. Like, it's just, it's really hard, right? Like, you can't afford them. Like, to hold on to guys that are really good that aren't playing, like, it's just, it's really hard. But, like, when you lose someone, right, and a guy goes down, and I get Jordan Morgan, who really was their, technically their swing guy or whoever, you know, what he was going to be, he was out. But when someone like Elton leaves the game and someone goes in and the offense just, technically shuts down, right? Like it can't recover. That can't happen, right? And Goody knows it. I mean, everyone knows it, right? Like they are not oblivious to that. They understand that that needs to be addressed. And I think they will address it. It's just how do they go about it, right? Do they go about it through the draft? And if you go about it through the draft, there's growing pains with that, right? There are growing pains with addressing that through the draft, or do you go with it through the market and find veteran type guys that don't demand as high a salary, and you find them and bring them in as depth players, and they're there to be backup role players, and you have to decide as the team what's best for you. So like that will be interesting to see how they play that out and what's best for them.
All right. Well, I would bet. It's at $100. I'll bet $100 the Packers make the playoffs. You would as well. The Packers win the division. I'm not going to bet $100. I'll bet $40.
Yeah, I'm at $35 to $40.
All right. Yeah, you can pick whatever. You 38. You're at 35. Next up, the NFC Championship game. Will the Packers make that in 2025? That is next. Travel fans, listen up. Explore the many shades of Ireland with Colette Vacations and me. And I add my wife because everybody's going to say she's a saint. I'm used to it. On August the 9th, we're heading off to an unbelievable journey. Explore the historic city of Dublin, kiss the famous Blarney Stone, and stand on the spectacular Cliffs of Moher. Visit an Irish dairy farm, taste or two at a historic whiskey distillery, and stay in a medieval castle. Visit ESPNMilwaukeeTravel.com, ESPNMilwaukeeTravel.com, or get the details this upcoming Sunday, February the 2nd. The wonderful Colette team will be there. I'll be there. My wife will be there. Maddie's Bar and Grill in New Berlin, 5 o'clock. Maddie's Bar and Grill in New Berlin, 5 o'clock, Sunday, February the 2nd. The Brian Bulaga Homer Hour, Jason Wilde normally on it. He is on assignment. I was doing the YouTube, and we had a comment for you, Brian. I agree with Brian that LaFleur has to get back to being creative or changing things up. McCarthy lost his job for not changing it up. I don't know if that's accurate, but
I don't know if it's like LaFleur's not being creative, because I think we saw what he did with Malik Willis was very creative, to be honest with you. I think we saw a lot of creativity when Malik Willis got in the game and what the offense became, right? There's a lot of different formations and a lot of different runs that I've never seen before out of that offense, and a lot of different personnel groupings. And I mean, it was very well executed,
right?
Well done.
You now lead to my next question. Why didn't they do exactly with Jordan Love as the season went on, as they had done with Willis, because it was based on the premise that there was going to be more running. My only thought is that that tells me that Jordan Love was hurt to some degree and that they couldn't use him running the same way they used Willis. But couldn't they have done the same offense later in the year with Love that they did with Willis, or not?
Probably not, because I still don't think, as much as they, you know, said Jordan was okay, I still don't know how okay he was as the season went on, right? Like, I still don't know how good the knee was, or the groin, or whatever it was. You just, I mean, when you get injuries like that and they just linger around, and you just don't know how healthy he was, and he's not the runner that Malik Willis is. I mean, he just isn't. And their games are different. They play two different games, and it's just not, you can't build a game plan around Jordan Love the same way you build it around Malik Willis. So
I'll take Homer. You're wrong. I'll accept that.
Yeah, I mean, at least I got to ask it. It's not that you're wrong. It's just it's hard to, like, in print, like, you could think about it, and in principle, like, it would be, it could be a good idea, but at the same time, defenses just wouldn't buy it, right? Like, they would look at it and go, we know Jordan Love's not pulling the ball and running it. So, like, he is no threat to us to pull the ball. Like, we know he's not going to do it. We'll dare him to do it, and if he does, okay, like, he'll beat us for, you know, 8 yards, and we'll learn from it, but after that, it's never going to happen again, and we'll stop the run. So, like, it just wouldn't work as well as it does with Malik Willis.
All right. We have, I would bet $100 that we both would, that make the playoffs this year. I am betting 40. You're betting 37 or 35 that they will win the division. Now we get to the NFC championship game. I would bet, and 100 is the maximum. I would bet $5 that the Packers, which is kind of stupid, because if I think they're going to win the division, then that will make it significantly easier to make the NFC Championship game. All right, I'll go to 10. I mean, I'm up 100 on the playoffs, so now I'm back. Will the Packers get to the NFC Championship game? I'm willing to bet 10 with 100 as the maximum. Brian Bulaga?
Yeah, I'll go 10 too, because, like, I think, you know, if I'm betting 35 that they, like you said, win the division, I might as well put 10 on.
Yeah,
like, winning two games. Well, if they win the division, you know, they could be at 1 or 2 seed. So then they win a game to get into the NFC Championship. So, right. Yeah, I mean, why not?
I should probably go higher. You're right. I should probably be like, if they win the division, I'm not going to say the same, but it should be pretty close to the same. All right. We'll consider it. I'll reconsider that. Get to the championship game. I'm now up to 20. But I think there's a 40% chance. I got to have at least half of that, because they only got to win one more game.
Yeah.
Well, you could win the division and be a 3 or 4 seed technically,
yes.
Right?
So, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I have to consider that. All right. I'm back to 10.
Yeah.
All right. Now, I would bet that they get to the Super Bowl. 0.
Yeah, I can't bet that right now, because, like,
right,
they just, from last year, they haven't technically shown me enough that from last year to next year that they, you know, they have the team that can do it right now. So we'll see how they look, get going next year, maybe. We'll see. But as of right now, I can't bet that right now.
And we will do this again when they start training camp. So,
yep.
And hopefully I won't lose it because I'm old. So we each have 0 at getting to the Super Bowl. So I think we're both at 0 to winning the Super Bowl, right? I'm going out on the trunk there. All right. I hope it wasn't too hard for you without Jason Wilde. Thanks, Brian.
Yep. Appreciate you.
Brian Bulaga. Tomorrow it'll be the Gary Ellerson Homer Hour, and with Fat Jack. Can't wait to hear what he's thinking about with the Super Bowl. Dr. Aaron Holtebeck. It's the Holtebeck Eye Center. I went there in their office, and he's all about being the best of whatever the situation is. He makes vision care a top priority with the latest technologies at the state-of-the-art office. and Dr. Holtebeck helping local patients with their eye care needs for over 20 years and still said, I can do it better. I can cover more vision care issues. So he added to his team Dr. Nausheen Abbas. They're even better. Whatever your vision issue, whatever your age, whatever you need, trust the experts from Holtebeck Eye Center in Brookfield near the corner of Calhoun and Capitol. Learn more about their services at Holtebeck.com. The Marquette Basketball Hour is next.